We are live. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Sean Liu, aka Reverend Lyle Lewis, coming back at you one more time. Hey, everybody, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. By all means, click like and subscribe if you like what you hear, or if you just want to become a part of the Pain Fighters Nation. For those of you that are on the podcast, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for joining me. I am very, very, very humbled by your presence here. And I would ask that you guys just do me a favor and just, you know, like the podcast, because, you know, it helps. You know, it's like the more, you know, the only reason why I ask you to do this is because the more you like, the more you click, all this other kind of stuff, the more you do these things, the more it really does help me to, you know, get the word out. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, more or less I'm trying to spread the word and, you know, just trying to do my thing. So thank you guys for being here. And as you guys know, my name is Reverend Lyle Lewis. I am a minister at the Word Evangelistic Church, where the pastor is Prophet Willie C. Townsend. That's right, I am not the pastor. I am a minister at the Word Evangelistic Church, where the co-pastor is Prophetess Denise Townsend. We're located in Chicago, Illinois. By all means, check out our YouTube channel, Word Evangelistic Church. Go to wordevangelisticchurch.com. You can Google us. We got our own website. You know, hey, we're, you know, Word Evangelistic Church is moving. I'm moving right along with them. You know, I'm moving, you know, not in my own direction, but, you know, I am trying to build, you know, my own, you know, trying to basically just, you know, exercise my gift. Basically, that's all I'm doing. You know, I'm not necessarily trying to establish a church or a congregation, but, you know, by all means, I would like followers, so that in this way, I know that these are people that I can either help or I can get to the individual who can really help you more than I can. Because like I always say, if you like what you hear from me, you'll love what you hear from my pastor, because he's the one that taught me how to break the word down and how to, you know, work out scriptures and things like that. So, you know, again, you know, no disciple, no student, no one who's being taught is greater than their teacher. You know, there's no student or disciple that's greater than their master, you know. And, you know, the Lord put him as my teacher and my pastor. So, you know, there's no way that I will be able to exceed him. The man's got lots of knowledge. The man's been saved since 1979. I've been saved since 2001. So, I mean, you know, he's got tons of experience and tons of wisdom, and it shows through his teaching. So by all means, if you like what you hear, trust me, you'll love what you hear over there on that channel. Or you can just stay tuned with me, because I'm going to only give you the word of God and nothing but the word of God as he does. So, you know, he's got his way of doing it. I got my way of doing it. But either way, it's all the word and it's all the truth. So again, thank you guys for tuning in. Now that the formalities are complete, we are going to dive into a topic that's very, very touchy. And the reason why it's very touchy is because everybody deals with it. But, you got a lot of pastors, they don't touch on it, they don't preach on it. But if they do teach on it, they do preach on it, they don't necessarily go into detail along the lines of why it happens or how to deal with it. More or less, they just say, okay, well, just, you know, ask God for forgiveness, pray about it, you know, let the Lord work it out. God understands your heart. And that's temptation, all right? We all are faced with temptation. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care what you've been doing all your life. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if you're just saved or if you've been saved for, you know, as long as my pastor or even longer than my pastor, okay? Like I said, he was saved in 1979, all right? I don't care how long your salvation has gone, how, you know, what the run of it is or has been. We are all faced with temptation every single day. What do I mean? You get it, where a lot of people, like, you know, folks that are like very seasoned veterans in God, they're like, you know, oh, I've gotten over it. No, you're still faced with temptation, because you're still faced with things like you want to say something that's out of pocket to somebody. You want to smack somebody. You want to curse somebody out. You want to, you know, you want to flip somebody off while driving. Like, all these things, they're still considered temptation, because all those things are still things that are not becoming of Christ, okay? Like the Bible said, let your conversation be as it becometh of Christ. Now, first and foremost, when we talk about let your conversation be as it becometh of Christ, we're not just talking about your verbal conversation, all right? We're not just talking about you just, you know, what you say to people and how you communicate with people, you know, and just, you know, being very calm and nice and polite and you're not cursing and blah, blah, blah. We're not talking about that alone, okay? That is part of it. But when the Bible says let your conversation be as it becomes of Christ, we're also talking about your lifestyle. We're also talking about how your walk with God, all right? Let your walk with God, let your conversation, let the state of your mind. See, all these things are part of your conversation. And the reason why I say they're all part of your conversation is because they're all a part of something that you are involved in. Notice your conversation are about things that either A, you are involved in, or B, that you want to be involved in. Okay? So therefore, your conversation more or less like your conduct, you know, your speech, your thought, it's everything. You know, let your life, your conversation is your life. Let your conversation be as it becomes of Christ. All right? But how do we do that when we are constantly faced with temptation? How do we do that when we're constantly faced with things that are tugging at us and pulling at us and constantly having to be where every single time we go to try to do something, or we go to try to obtain something, or we go to try to push for something, there's always us standing in the way. Now understand this, that's the first thing you need to understand about temptation. Temptation is not Satan. Temptation is you. You rising up within you, you know, basically wanting things that you've always wanted. Satan does not necessarily tempt you. Prime example, we look at Eve, right? Satan did not tempt Eve. Eve was already tempted. Satan just basically like boosted the temptation. That's what Satan comes and does. All right. So let's get that understanding. You know, the reason why we're tempted is because of Adam's nature within us. My pastor was preaching on this recently. By all means, go check out some of our recent streamlines and shows. By all means, trust me, that man's got knowledge, and this is what is inspiring me to pass it on to you guys, because this is very key, especially for people who are just now coming into salvation. You know, the first thing that we look at is, you know, when we're tempted, the first thing we want to do is we want to bind the devil. We want to tell, oh, it's the devil, it's the devil. No, it is your nature, your Adam nature that you were naturally born in, the sin nature of Adam that you were naturally born in, just rising up within you, trying to take over, trying to dominate. You know what I'm saying? It is your curiosity. It is, you know, things that you look at, things that you wonder after. You know, it's the reason why the Bible tells you that you're not supposed to go around anything that wars against your flesh. Now, what does it mean, war against your flesh? Meaning these are things that causes it lowers your inhibitions. It raises your curiosity. You know what I'm saying? We go around things and it makes us just constantly think about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get it where an individual who is an alcoholic, if he's not around alcohol, he's okay. But he starts getting around alcohol, he starts seeing people drinking. You know, never mind that, you know what I'm saying? Never mind the negative effects. Your flesh is going to gravitate towards what the flesh would call positive, you know, the positive aspect of, oh, look at how it made us feel. Look at how, you know, we were just so comfortable. Look at how this and that. It points out all the things that, like, oh, you were able to talk to girls. You were dancing. You were this, you were that. You're a loose guy. Everybody thinks you're fun. Everybody thinks you're funny, blah, blah, blah. It's pointing out that. Not pointing out the fact that, you know, you're damaging your body, you're killing your liver, you know what I'm saying? People don't really want to be around you. They just tolerate you. You know, you wake up with a pounding headache the next day. It's not telling you the negative effects. It's only telling you the positive effects. Why? Because that is the part where Satan gets in. See, your nature automatically wants to gravitate towards something that the flesh likes. Your flesh likes, you know, alcohol, sex, it likes money, whatever. Everybody's different. Okay, when we're talking about temptation, let's get that first, let's get that established. Everybody wants to talk about temptation. Temptation is not just sex. Temptation is not just money, like stealing. It's not just, wanting to hurt somebody. Temptation is anything that is wrong that goes against the word of God, all right? Anything the word of God tells you to do or tells you not to do, and your flesh wants to rise up and go contrary to what the word of God says, that is a temptation, okay? Now, with these temptations, we need to learn how to handle them, okay? Now, you go around these things and it rises up the nature. What Satan does is he basically is the hype man for your flesh. What do I mean the hype man? Basically, he's an instigator, okay? Basically, we've all been in school, okay? All of us, most of us have gone to school. If not, most of us have seen, like, you know, a fight out on the street. And you will notice how, and if you haven't seen a fight on the street, you can Google them, you can watch them on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, you can follow, you know what I'm saying? When you watch these fights, I don't care if you've been at, you know, you've seen one in person or you watched it online, I don't care where you've been, there's always that one person in the background that's always yelling and talking, and it got nothing to do with the fight, right? They're always like, get him! get them. They were talking stuff about you. They said this about your mama, right? That's the instigator. That's what Satan does. When you get around something, Satan instigates how things made you feel. Satan instigate, that's what he did with Eve. He instigated. Basically what he did was when Eve saw the fruit and she saw that it was good for food, blah, 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 even though God said don't, Satan basically nudged her by influencing her with his words, basically talking to her. Didn't God say this? It's not going to happen. If you do this, oh, trust me, it'll look good. Oh, man, it'll help you. It'll do this. God just doesn't want you in this state. Trust me, if you do that, you'll be like God and this and that, that and this. He's not telling her the negative effects, you're going to die. He's not telling her the negative effects of what death is. He's not telling her the negative effects that you're going to be separated from God. He's just telling her all things that the flesh wants to hear. You know what I'm saying? This is the reason why a lot of people fall to temptation. Because when Satan starts instigating stuff, Satan is only instigating things and putting things in your head that you want to hear according that your flesh wants to hear, I should say. Okay? So if you're tempted with sex, then, you know, when you get around that man or that woman, it starts reminding you that sex is feels great, that, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, it starts telling, you know, the passion, the lust, the this and that, all those things that, you know, make the body feel good and blah, blah, blah. But it's not reminding you. Notice, when you get tempted, you aren't reminded that this can put you in hell. You are not reminded that this can separate you from God. You are not reminded this can break up your marriage. You are not reminded you can catch disease. You're not reminded of the negative things, only the positive. Why? That's where Satan comes in. Between your flesh and Satan. Satan does not tempt you. He just boosts the temptation. You're already tempted. Okay? You go through life, there's things that you're going to go through in life. Notice, there's a lot of times you see something and you're tempted without Satan even being there. Satan has not been in your mind. He's not, you know, and just automatically, boom. You go around it. And why? Again, that's just the natural nature of man. You are tempted because you are in Adam's nature. What does that mean? You are born in sin. Okay, the Adam nature is the sinful nature of man. Okay, so with that sinful nature of man constantly rising up within you, you are constantly going to have to do things to suppress it. One way is through the Word of God. Now, I know a lot of times everybody's like, oh, well, you always say the Word. Why do I say the Word? Bible says, God said in His Word that He exalts His Word above all of His name. Okay. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus is the Word. That's the reason why they said there's power in the name. Well, because what? This is the reason why, you know, you really need to be in a church that, you know, you need or listen to somebody that really knows how to break the Word of God down. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. The three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, right? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now, when they say the Father, the Word, well, what's the Word? Also Jesus Christ, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. These three are as one. Okay, so notice what Christ did when He came down here. He said, I didn't come down here to boost myself. I came here to, you know, spread the gospel. I came here to spread the kingdom of heaven. He came here to spread the Word of God. All right, Jesus Christ is the Word. So when people say there's power in the name of Jesus, there's power in the Word, stand on the Word, this and that, that and this, they're all talking about the same thing. Okay, when you're talking about the power of Christ, you're talking about the power of the Word at the same time. Okay, so understand this. When the Word of God goes forth, the Word of God is there to teach you. It's there to help you. The Bible said that these things were written for our ammunition. What does that mean? It's made for our instruction. Okay, these things are written for our instruction, for reproof, for instruction, that the man of God may be furnished. Okay, what does that mean, that the man of God may be furnished? That the man of God may be perfected. This is the reason why the Bible tells us that we should move on to perfection. All right. Now, the reason why we need to move on to perfection is because with the Adam nature constantly rising up within us, if we don't do something to suppress that and push that off of us and push it down and hold it down, it's only going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Okay. It's just like an individual that you allow to do something. The more you allow them to do it, the more they think that they are entitled to do it. So therefore, it gets to a point where they start doing things, and then notice it gets really start doing more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. All right. Notice with a child, If you don't discipline a child when they do something bad, they're going to do that again. And then they're going to keep doing it. And then as they're doing it, they're going to add more stuff onto whatever it is that they are or are not doing. Okay? You let a child not clean his room. Okay? So it'll start with, okay, you have a child, they got a clean room, right? Prime example. You got a kid with a clean room. I was a kid myself. I know how this is. All right? So you got a kid with a clean room. Okay, they start off with a clean room. They come in, you know, day one, okay, maybe they kept the room clean. Day two, they came in, threw their socks, took their shoes off, took their socks off, left them over there. Day two, they took their book bag, day three or whatever, the next day they took off their book bag, they left it over there. Weekend passes, okay, now they, you know what I'm saying, oh, they got this, it's okay. They take food in their room, okay, now they didn't take it out, you know, they got dishes in the room, they got old chip bags in the room. As time goes on, more and more trash, dirty clothes, and all kinds of God knows what else, toys and everything else, are constantly accumulating more and more and more until the room is just a mess, okay? It's the same way in God. It's the same way with temptation. With that little temptation, if you don't push that away, if you don't rebuke that out of yourself, if you don't, you know, get on yourself, you gotta rebuke Satan, rebuke you, rebuke your mind, rebuke your flesh, rebuke your nature. Just, you know, it's part of you, but you can go ahead and, you know, use the word of God, powers of God against yourself to suppress that, to, like, you know, push that away or, you know, ignore it or whatever the case may be. So as you do that, when you catch it small, then you get it to where it's easier to maintain. But when you constantly just let it build up, or you're constantly feeding it, okay, letting it build and feeding it are just about the same thing. The only difference is one, you're not yielding to it, but you're not shunning it either. You get what I'm saying? So it's like letting it build is like, you're not, you know what I'm saying? You're not rebuking it, but you're not shunning it. Meaning like, okay, so prime example, like I said, you go around people that drink. If you're a former alcoholic, you go around people that drink. Yeah. For the moment, you aren't, you know, you're not rebuking the temptation and you're not shunning it by staying away from it. But you're not drinking yet. But the more you go around them, the more you think about it. The more you go around them, the more you see everybody's laughing and joking and passing out. And for whatever reason, Satan is telling you that, hey, remember that? Those were good times, remember? Oh, man. Again, you're not rebuking it. You're not partaking in it, but you're not rebuking it. But as it, you know, the level of temptation is building, it is growing, as opposed to something that you're feeding. You go around alcohol, you take a sip, okay? You haven't been drinking for about a year or two. Now you're tempted, you take a sip, okay? You know what I'm saying? Then you go around again, you take a, now it goes from a sip to a shot, right? You just, okay, at first you're like, okay, you know, no, okay, you know, no. Then next time it's like, I had a sip. I'll just take one shot, boom, bam. You know, you knock that out, you know what I'm saying? Then it goes from a shot to a glass, go from a glass to a bottle, then it goes from one to step. You get what I'm saying? It builds. You're constantly feeding it, and the more you're feeding it, you can't. It makes it harder to fight. It makes it harder to push away from it. It makes it harder to leave alone. This is the reason why a lot of people, when they get saved, they wind up going back into the world, meaning that, you know, they wind up just giving up on their salvation because they did not either fight the sin off when they weren't participating, but they let it build, or they were constantly nibbling at it until it got to the point where they were constantly feeding this thing until it just got to a point where they couldn't control it anymore. It just got so out of hand where now everybody sees that they're right back at square one. When you're dealing with temptation, you know, the it's important to make sure that you catch it. You know, it's like disease, all right? The faster you catch it, the faster you deal with it, the quicker and the sooner you get to the root of the problem and take care of it, the better it will be for you in the long run. Why? Because it's easier to suppress and hold something down that's small than it is something greater. It's easier to hold a child back than it is to hold an adult back. You get what I'm saying? You get it where a child wants to run up and then, you know, you get two kids, they want to, like, two little toddlers, they get to fighting, you can pull them apart real easy, right? You get two fully grown men want to fight, you're not, you know, you ain't just gonna grab them and be like, hey, you know, you gotta, like, actually grab them and, like, hold them up and, like, you know, push them and, you know, you gotta, like, have a leg over here, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's more effort, more energy, more time, you know what I'm saying? It takes more, you know what I'm saying, to get, you know, to push that off of you than it would if it was small. Now, understand this, all temptation is not necessarily going to be easy to overcome. It can be overcome, but it depends on how much root these things have taken down in you. Some people have temptations that are just constantly, this is just something that, you know, Satan found out this is something that they really like, all right? Or this is something that they really battled and struggled, be it throughout their whole salvation or be it in the world or whatever the case may be. This is something they like. Why? Because a lot of times, you know, we like how we feel when we do stuff. People like how they feel when they curse people out. People like how they feel when they fight people. People like how they feel when they're having sex, you know what I'm saying, with somebody that they're not married. Okay, people like how they feel. They like the rush and they like the thrill and the rush of getting caught when they're stealing or doing something wrong. They like these things. Okay, so with them liking these things, they're not trying to necessarily fight them. They're not trying to get away from them. They're not. They'll just yield to it. But they yield to it in secret and then come and be like, oh, okay, no, hey everybody, I'm still. You got to be careful of that. Why? Because when you do that, you show yourself as a hypocrite. You want to make sure that whatever it is that you're tempted with, whatever it is you need to stop. Even if you're yielding to it now, you don't have to give up. Just listen to the word of God. Let the word of God teach you how to push these things off you. All right? What are ways that you can do to, what are some things that you can do to push them off you? Okay, one, study the word of God. And like I said, you want to study the word of God. Two, listen to the word of God. Now, I don't necessarily care which one you do first. But the word of God is very important, brother. Be here, but I would probably suggest that you listen to the word of God first from an individual who's qualified to teach the word of God. What do I mean an individual that's qualified to teach the word of God? Okay, you don't want to be listening to somebody who is in sin, all right? The worst thing you can do, especially as an individual that's saved, is listen to some sinner tell you about how to beat temptation, okay? Because if they could beat temptation, they'd be saved. Be honest with you. That's just why. Because, you know, if they understood the, you know, importance and the importance of, you know, resisting temptation, they would understand the importance of getting saved. All right. You can't go to a sinner to learn about how to beat sin. You can't learn to go to somebody who's involved in it happily. Because they're only going to give you half advice. They're going to tell you, oh, just do this. Oh, it's okay. They're going to tell you either, A, it's okay, or they're only going to give you portions and pieces of good advice. Or they're going to give you good advice mixed with bad advice. Either way, whatever they give you is going to be something that's going to wind up confusing you. Okay? You don't want to go to somebody. You want to go to somebody who has beaten sin. You want to go to somebody who is conquering sin. Who is, hey, they might have been tempted with that in the past, but they're suppressing it now. You get what I'm saying? They might have fallen to it in the past. They're not falling to it now. You want to be around people who you can pull strength from. Okay? You can't pull strength from somebody who's telling you don't do it one minute, but you see them doing it the next minute. You can't pull strength from an individual. You know what I'm saying? You can't pull strength from a hypocrite. You can't pull strength from somebody who's telling you not to or go, and then you turn around and look, and they're doing the same thing they told you not to do or go. If you're okay, prime example. You know, I'm 39 years old. So, you know, there's a lot of us who grew up in the 80s and the 90s where we had parents who were cursing in the house. But the moment we cursed, they said, don't you use that language in my house. But, I mean, at the same time, it's kind of hard not to use that language when that's what you hear all the time. Right? And they're like, don't do as I say. Look, nobody's going to do that. All right? Everybody's going to do what the next person does. Why? That's, unfortunately, that's just, hey, you know, people are just messed up like that, okay? For whatever reason, that's the first thing everybody does. If he can do it, then it must be okay. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if you're a parent. I don't care if you're a Christian. I don't care if, I don't care. It doesn't matter if you're at work. It does not matter. You know, notice. You go to work, right? If you go to work and you're late for work, you know what I'm saying? You're the supervisor. You're always late for work. Notice your employees that are under you are going to start being late for work. You want to know why? Because they don't look at it. You're doing it. So if you're doing it, it must be okay. Okay? So that's the same way as what I say. You don't go around sinners, because even if they may necessarily, they might give you good advice telling you don't do this. And what they say concerning that might be good. But then next thing you know, you see them doing something else that's sinful. And then next thing you know, you wind up getting pulled in that direction because they say, oh, no, this is okay. And it's not. You get what I'm saying? This is the reason why, again, you don't want to go around somebody who's going to either, only going to give you mix up advice, or they're going to, yeah, they may shun you on this, but pull you over here on that. You get what I'm saying? You want somebody who is solid, steady, stable, grounded, rooted. You know, you want somebody who, if they say don't do this, it's because they're not doing that according to what they've been taught in the Word of God. If they say stay away from this, they're staying away from it, and they're telling you this because they have the experience, or they just have the knowledge and wisdom. You got some people, they've got the experience of, you know what I'm saying, yielding to their flesh. They've got the experience of yielding to temptation, but they came out of it. They're beating it. They're defeating it. They're getting over this in their life, and they can come and say, this is what I did. Here's what I went through. Here's what I had to endure, and here's how I had to take God at his word to do such and such, such and such. You know what I'm saying? They can give you advice through the experience that they had. But then you have others. Hey, all they had to do was just hear the word of God, and they'll just give you the advice like, hey, look, it's not worth it. Don't do it. But you want to hang around these kind of people because, again, you want to pull strength. Okay? This is the reason why, another reason why the Bible says don't go around nothing that wars against your flesh. How can you build strength when you're constantly going around something that's making you weak? Right? Prime example. We all know that, you know, I talk about comic books and all this other kind of goofy stuff, so this is a perfect analogy for me. I know, you know, I could talk about this as long as I talk about the Word of God. But prime example, how can Superman be strong if he's constantly going around kryptonite? Everybody knows Superman, so this analogy I can properly use. How can Superman be at his best when he's constantly going around kryptonite that's weakening him? Right? Superman, yeah, we look at it like he'll overcome the odds, blah, 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 but at the same time, he's still weak. So therefore, in his weakened state, anything can happen. It's the same thing with you and your salvation. If you're constantly going around something that is weakening you, you're constantly going around something that is tearing at you, that is constantly pulling on you in the wrong way, how are you supposed to be at your best? How are you supposed to be at your strongest? You can't. You cannot. If you're somebody that's tempted with whatever it is, I don't care what it is, you go around it, it's pulling on you. Even if you don't feel it, you may, like the first time you go around it, it may not affect you, but you keep going around it, it eventually will, one way or another. Why? Because even if you got it where some people, they go around it and it's like, it doesn't bother me anymore. But the fact that you are around it makes it look like, makes it look unto God that you still agree that it's okay. This is the reason why I say one way or another, it will still hurt you. You don't want to go around temptation. You don't want to be tempted. Unfortunately, we are. There's nothing you can do about that. Everybody's tempted with something different. Don't look at it just because you're not tempted with cheating on your spouse, that, or you're not tempted with, you know, having sex out of marriage, that you're not tempted. Don't look at it just because you don't steal, kill, or anything like that, that you're not tempted. You may not steal. You may not kill. But if you are thinking about it, just because you're not doing it does not mean that you're not tempted. All right? But understand, if we dwell on these things, we, you know, the temptation can be just as real as if you did it. There's a reason why the Bible says if any man looks at a woman, that's where the temptation is. We looked and saw. Hence, it brought up the temptation and went straight to the mind. And when it went straight to the mind, we played out the act in our mind. Therefore, that's the reason why Christ said, if any man looks at a woman and lusts after her, he's already sinned in his heart. Why? You've already played it out. This is the reason why the Bible tells us that no murderer shall enter into the kingdom of God. But in Jesus Christ said, if you hate your brother, you're considered a murderer. Why? Because if you hate your brother, notice how you think about carrying out evil deeds against them. I don't care if it's anything from killing them, you know, you think about killing them, to just setting them up to, or just not being nice to them. Either way, Bible speaks against these things. So that's why I say, you know, before you go just pretending that you're holier than thou, pump your brakes. Okay? You need to assess what holiness is in its full entirety. Okay? Holiness in its full entirety is we have to be in a level and a state that God is pleased with us at. Now, that's not to say that God isn't pleased with you if you're fighting your temptations. If you're fighting, God's pleased with you, providing you don't yield to it, providing that you are doing things to keep it off of you. Now, the question is how do we build strength, right? How do we build strength against temptation? Why is it important to build strength against temptation? Well, let's cover the part of why it's important to build strength against temptation. Again, the more you let something build, the stronger it gets. The more you let something grow, the more power it has to overtake you, right? You don't want this to grow in your life. You don't want this to be a factor in your life because, again, you have it where you might go years of being around this and it's tempting you and it's tempting you and it's tempting you, but you may say, oh, no, I'm fine. You know, I can operate around it. It is what it is. But then something happens where it's one time where you're put in a situation where it goes from like a temptation that's just like something where it's like, you know, it's just around you to where actually like you're face to face with it 100%. You know what I'm saying? What do I mean? Meaning it goes from, okay, you're around people that drink and you used to be an alcoholic to where somebody's actually sliding you a live drink and they put it in your hand. You went to the wrong party and somebody just, hey, they put a drink in your hand. And, you know, it's that old friend that you haven't seen in years. Like, man, hey, have a beer with me. Hey, man, take a shot with me. And you're just like, oh, man. And it's like, you look at it like, oh, no, I just give it up. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody will do that. Okay. Why? You've been around it. You've been around it. You've been around it. So therefore, you're still feeding your flesh. All right. Priming another example. Look at smokers. OK, you look at an individual that smokes. All right. I grew up with smokers. I never used to I didn't smoke cigarettes. We'll leave it at that. Used to. Remember, I said used to. I didn't say I currently do. I said I used to. And so, you know, and I still, you know, no, I don't. But do with that information what you will. But you look at smokers, an individual who is like they used to be addicted to smoking. You know, if they go around other people that smoke, notice how that it's just constantly building up within them to want to smoke. And if somebody put a cigarette in their hand, 9 times out of 10, they're going to take a puff of it, even if it's just one. You know what? I don't, you know what I'm saying? But still, all it takes is just that one. You know what I'm saying? I didn't talk to many people who smoke, and I'm like, man, they're like, yeah, I did quit at one point in time. But then it's like, you know, one day I was just under a lot of pressure. I was under a lot of stress. And I just smoked one. I took one puff of the cigarette and boom, I was right back hooked all back over again. Because it was like, why? Because they were constantly around it. And now because they're constantly around it, when they finally gave it to their flesh and the flesh received it and was like, you know, it's just, you know, it reacted properly within the flesh as it would, because again, that's what the flesh likes. Between Satan instigating things, and again, it's the reason why I said you need to not be around it, because you never know what level Satan will instigate a situation. He may just come to your mind and just tell you, hey, look, you know, check this out, check that out. Or again, he may put you in a position where, you know, you're set up to where it's like, it's smack dab in your face, to where it's like the temptation is like, it's you're kind of like at a point of no return. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all can get to that point. Don't think that you're just oh so strong or built up in God that you cannot get to a point of no return. We all can. Hence the reason why the Bible said to stay away from these things. We can all get to a point of no return. You need to stay away from the sin so that in this way it does not pull you in. Okay? The further you stay away from something, the least likely it can attack you. The least likely it can grab you. The least likely it can pull you towards it. Right? If you stay out of you jump in, you if you stay out of the water where there's a whirlpool, it's less likely that the whirlpool is going to be able to pull you. The tide of that whirlpool, the current of that whirlpool is going to be able to pull you in. But you jump in the water where there's a whirlpool, you're going to have to fight against that current, right? Notice the wind outside. If it's a windy day and you're in your house, providing that the wind doesn't blow the roof off your house, you're fine. But the moment you go outside, notice how that wind is going to push you in the direction that it's blowing. That's the same way with Satan. Hey, there's some time where only thing Satan is doing is blowing up against the house. There's time where Satan is going to try to actually, he's going to be in your face, pushing you, trying to push you in his direction. You get what I'm saying? But this is the reason why I say, if you stay away from it and you build yourself up through the word of God, through lots of prayer, okay? What do I mean lots of prayer? Like, you get to where a lot of pastors, you know, when you're faced with temptation, they'll say, oh, just pray about it. Just pray about it. Just pray about it. Well, here's the question. What prayer do you need to pray? They don't tell you that. No, they don't tell you what prayer to pray. They just tell you to pray. And if they do tell you what prayer to pray, it's just a prayer of forgiveness. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. That's not enough. You need to pray for strength. You need to pray for steadfastness. You need to pray prayers that will allow you to... See, we go to God and we start praying these prayers to God where we're crying and slobbering all over the place and like punching the couch and, you know, beating on the bed. Lord, I'm sorry. And have mercy. You know, look, I've been there. I've been there. So I know. No, that's not the prayer. Okay. You want to pray to God. Okay. First and foremost, you want to pray to God for, you know, forgiveness. Of course, you want to ask the Lord to forgive you and ask him to wash the sin away. Right. The next thing you want to do after you pray that prayer is ask God for the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of you. The knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding of sin. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding of temptation. Why? Because if you have the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of things, remember I was telling you that message about understanding a couple of weeks ago. You have the understanding of something. You have a greater chance to overcome it, to defeat it, or whatever. You have a greater chance of taking this in better stride. You get what I'm saying? If you have an understanding of your salvation, you can live it a lot better than an individual who has no understanding. You got an individual, I mean, you got an understanding of anything. You have a better chance of knowing what you can and can't do and your limitations and as far as you can go. You got a lot of people don't understand how far they can go in God because they don't have a full understanding of their salvation. They don't have a full understanding of God, of the powers of God. You got a lot of people who are tempted with sin because they don't have an understanding of sin. They don't have an understanding of themselves as an individual fighting against sin. They don't have an understanding of these things. So therefore, since they don't have the understanding of these things, they're constantly falling to it. Mind you, one of the first things of understanding is don't go around it. Second thing of understanding is you need to fight you. But sometimes you get it where people tell them that, and that's not enough. How do I fight me? How do I use the word of God? If you want me to pray, how do I pray? If I'm supposed to fast, what is the purpose of fasting and how do I fast effectively? See, that's what the thing of it is. You need to, when you pray, you need effective prayers. When you study the word of God, when you use the word of God, you need effective scriptures. See, people are like, oh, just stand on the word. Well, what do you mean stand on the word? Go find you a scripture. Okay, here's how you use the word of God against your temptation. You go find you a scripture in the word of God. And every single time that temptation rises up against you, you use that scripture against it to counteract. Don't pay attention to the flesh. Don't pay attention to the mind. Don't pay attention to voices in your head. Don't pay attention to how you feel in the body. You use the word of God and you just stand on the word of God. What do I mean stand on the word of God? Okay, prime example. If you're tempted to, let's say you're tempted to go punch somebody in the face, right? Okay, the Bible says, that you shouldn't hate your brother. That hatred is as murder. Well, you know, you being violent is an act of hatred. You know, that's an act of hatred against your brother. Okay, so the Lord doesn't want you to be violent. So you say, you know, murderers won't enter into the kingdom of God. So when every single time I'm just using this as an example. Every single time this individual comes around them and trust me, you're not going to sit up and tell me everybody's in the face with this, but you got a lot of people, more people than they would like to admit, would love to just smack the piss out of somebody. If I'm right, just put in the like, raise your hand. I ain't got to see you. Just hell, click the like button, raise your hand. Just say, you know what you're talking about. Trust me. Look, I'm not going to lie. There are many people who I've wanted to smack, punch, or whatever. And yes. And as a martial artist, it's, you know, you look at it like, I can, you know what I'm saying? And I know how to do it, like really how to do it. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm gonna get away with it. That's like I said, Satan's gonna instigate it. You can really punch them and knock them out. You know how to knock people out. He didn't tell me that they know how to fight too, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so that's what I'm like, you know, you gotta be careful. You know, don't let Satan instigate these things. So, but, you know, you use the word. So therefore, you know, you're looking at this individual and you just wanna knock the hell out of him. Okay. Bible says that I can't hate my brother and violence, you know, that's you know, I'm not, you know, I can't hate my brother. He said, don't hate your brother. I can't hate the brother. You know, hate, you know, hatred is the same as murder in the eyesight of God. You know, he said murderers will not, you know, enter in. You know, you just constantly refer back to the word, the scripture. You know what I'm saying? Even if you don't know the scripture word for word. See, that's a lot of the times you'll be trying to use the scripture and then Satan will be like, that's not what the scripture says. I don't care how the scripture is worded. As long as you know what the scripture says. You know the gist of what the scripture says, and basically the scripture is telling you not to do it. So you're constantly putting this in your mind, and what you're doing is you're constantly rehearsing it. Constantly rehearsing it. It's the same way with people that lie. They constantly go over the lie over and over and over and constantly, constantly, constantly until it becomes a truth to them. So that then this way, when they speak it, boom, it's just so fluent. They can tell you this and they can tell you that and they can come up with a whole story around it and so forth and so forth. Why? Because they've constantly gone over it and over it and over. They've rehearsed it in their head so much to the point where it has become it has become the truth to them. To where they can, you know what I'm saying? To where they can rehearse it to you to where it's believable. It's the same way with you when dealing with the word of God. Rehearse the word of God over and over and over against that sin in your head. Find the scripture that effectively tells you what to do or what not to do against this temptation. Okay? And then stick with that scripture. Stand on it. Just every single time it comes, you quote that scripture. There was a time when I was tempted to, I was tempted with all kinds of stuff. I had mind demons. I was tempted with all kinds of sin, blah, blah, blah. My pastor, he said, what he used to do is he used to carry scriptures around in his pocket. I did that. I would write scriptures down. I'd be writing scriptures down throughout the day, put them in my pocket. If I forgot the scriptures, go back to the Bible, rewrite the scriptures, find new scriptures, put these scriptures in my pocket. And every single time I was tempted, my hands are always in my pockets a lot of times. That's just, unfortunately, it's just a bad habit of mine. But, you know, pull out, you know, or, and you want to know what happens? There's going to be a time where, you know, while you're tempted, there's going to be like a moment of breathing room, meaning like a moment where you're not tempted. You pull the scripture out. Remember the scripture. Start quoting the scripture then. You know what I'm saying? Now what it is, you're gaining traction ahead of your temptation. You're gaining traction ahead of Satan. You're gaining to, you know what I'm saying? You're gaining, you know, now you're gaining. You know what I'm saying? You're putting yourself ahead because now you're pumping strength into you with nothing that's there to weaken you. So as the temptation comes, you're constantly reminded. So therefore, you always have the word of God with you. People carry their Bibles around. You're not just carrying this around just to, look, this isn't a badge, okay? The hell, you're like, you're not, you know, you can't walk, when you're tempted, you can't walk up to your temptation and say, I'm a Christian, you know, hey, Christian, cease and desist. You know what I'm saying? No. Satan used the Bible against Christ. What the hell are you going to do with the doggone Bible? You know what I'm saying? You got Satan, who is a former angel, using it against the Son of God, who is the Word. What the hell are you walking around with the Bible? What is that going to do for you if you don't use it or you don't know how to use it? Again, like I said, get the understanding of things. Get the understanding of how to use the Word of God. Get an understanding of what the Word of God will do for you. Get an understanding of the Word. So that then this way, you know how to use it. You know how to quote the scriptures. You know what scriptures to use. That's very key. Another thing, have an understanding of what to pray for. Have an understanding of how to pray. What do you pray for? You're praying for deliverance. Don't just pray, God, forgive me, God, forgive me. Okay, after you get it, okay, Lord, deliver me and give me strength against whatever it is that I'm tempted with. Lord, put it in me to where your word is more stronger in my heart and in my mind than the temptation. And you want to know what God will do? He'll send you the word of God one way or another. He'll direct you to a scripture. He'll have a sermon that's preached to where it's like it preaches against whatever it is you're dealing with to help give you more closure and more understanding and more knowledge and wisdom of what to do, what not to do, how to face it, how to go and address God. He will do these things, but it's up to you. God isn't just going to come. Yes, God does love you. But again, your salvation is a voluntary thing, okay? When you get saved, it's up to you. God is not going to take the temptation away. God is not going to take away the sin. He wants to see what he's going to give you, the word of God. He's going to give you the commandments. He's going to give you the statutes and limitations. He's going to see, what are you going to do? He's going to present it to you and say, now it's up to you. Same way he did with Adam and Eve. God said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. He did it with Adam and Eve. He did it with the children of Israel. He did it in the days of Jesus. He did it in the days of Paul, Peter, and he's doing it today. He's going to do it tomorrow. He's going to give you the tools to use. It's up to you to use them. He's going to give you the resources. It's up to you to use them. See, a lot of people, they skip over the word of God and they run to prayer. Don't skip over the word. Skip over prayer, if anything. Because again, he said he exalts his word above all of his name. So therefore, skip over the prayer. Go to the word of God first. Dive into the word of God. Pray that God, if you want to use prayer, Lord, give me the proper scripture to go to fight against this temptation. Lord, give me, you know what I'm saying? Direct me in your word of what to do or what not to do against this. I'm tempted with this. I'm falling to this. I don't want to fall to this. Tell God, literally, hey, confess your sin. That's another thing. You don't need to go to a priest. You don't need to go to your pastor. You don't need to, because none of them can forgive you of your sins. Okay. Your pastor can only advise you what to do to get forgiven. He cannot forgive you. All right. I don't care what, look, I don't care what your religion, your denomination, your pastor cannot, your pastor, your priest, the parish, they don't forgive sin. They don't. Christ died for your sins. So that then this way you can go directly to God. This is the reason why the Bible says, you know, you come before his throne, you know, before his throne, you know, come boldly before the throne of grace. What does that mean? Come boldly before the throne of grace. You're coming before the throne of God, covered in sin. Lord, forgive me. Lord, in Jesus' name, wash these sins away. You don't need to go to a pastor. You don't need to go to no other man to pray for you. All right? All you need to do is go to God yourself. See, when you go through a third party, that doesn't show your genuineness. You need to show that you are genuinely sorry and genuinely trying to come out of this situation in the eyesight of God. And the way you show genuineness to God is your individual relationship, your individual contact. I can't show God I'm genuine if I'm going to my pastor saying, hey, you go talk to God. It's like when we were in school and we liked a girl, or you had a friend that liked a girl, or you had a friend that liked a boy, or whatever the case may be. And you was always like, they were always like, go tell him I like him. Here, go this, go right here. I'm gonna write this note. Give them the note. That didn't necessarily. But I guarantee you, with the knowledge you have now of how, you know, people operate, you know, if you were a little kid then, you'd have just went to them like with the understanding that you have now of how people operate. They would like for you just to come to them directly. Like, I can't count. Like, there have been many a times, like, you know, there's a girl I like and she was just like, why didn't you just come and ask me out? And I was like, I thought that was the first thing that always came out of my mind. I figured, my understanding, not the full understanding. All right. So with that being said, you know, let's get a recap. So when we're dealing with sin, you know, you want to get scriptures against, you know, against the temptation or against the sin or whatever the case may be. You want to pray to God for strength. You want to pray for God for understanding of the temptation. And you want to pray to God for understanding of his word, of what he means when he tells you not to do things, so that then this way Satan cannot come and try to twist and manipulate the word when you use it. Okay? He twisted and manipulated the word with Christ. It didn't work, but he twisted and manipulated the word with Christ to try to get him to do things. But because Christ had a full understanding of the word of God, Satan could not. You know what I'm saying? Even in Jesus' weakened state, he was weakened because, you know, he was hungry. Anybody who's really been hungry and thirsty, like you've really been starving, you know what I'm saying? You realize like, your mind is not completely there. It's not. All right? I've starved before. I not to the extent that Jesus was, but I mean, you know, your mind is not, you're not thinking straight. You're not thinking clearly. You know what I'm saying? So you want to make sure, because when you're tempted, you know what I'm saying? That whole thing with Jesus Christ being out in the wilderness is very symbolic of an individual when they are tempted. Because notice when you're tempted, your brain goes kind of fuzzy. You know what I'm saying? Like you're just, the temptation is just, it just clouds the mind. All right? It makes it hard to think. It makes it hard to process things. You know what I'm saying? That's the same way it was with Christ. It was harder, but he still was able to stand on the word of God because he had an understanding of what the word of God said and what it meant. Okay, so get an understanding of the word of God. Get an understanding of what to pray. If you don't remember, by all means, scrub back through the message and go back. I'll tell you again, and I'll tell you again, and I'll tell you again. And keep watching this so that then this way I can keep telling you. You know what I'm saying? Listen to me. Listen to my pastor. And if there's anybody else out there who truly is preaching the word of God, preaching the truth of God, hell, go listen to them. But make sure that they're telling you the truth. Make sure they're telling you the full word of God. They're not just telling you bits and pieces. They're telling you everything. They're telling you about sin. They're telling you about God's wrath. They're telling you about God's love. They're talking about temptation. They're talking about how to stay out of sin. They're talking about how to get delivered. They're talking about how to obtain God's favor. They're talking about the whole spectrum of the word of God. Like me, my pastor, I don't listen to nobody else. So, I mean, but again, it's not to say that they're not out there. So by all means, hey, I thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for listening to me. If you can, click like and subscribe. If you can, favorite this podcast. Go over to the podcast channel if you haven't been. Listen to the stuff that I had before I had the YouTube channel. And if you guys can, hell, pop onto the YouTube channel. Come see my beautiful face. All right? In the meantime, thank you guys for tuning in. I am Reverend Lyle Lewis, a.k.a. Sean Lou. And I love you guys. And I thank you guys for tuning in. And please continue to support us, and by all means, go over to the Word Evangelistic Church channel on YouTube or wordevangelisticchurch.com. Check out my pastor. Listen to the man. He's got much knowledge, very vast knowledge, very vast understanding of, you know, lots of different things concerning the spirit and the natural and the word of God. So trust me, it won't be a waste of time. So until next time, my beautiful pain fighters, be safe, stay safe. God bless.